الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد Respected علماء حفاظ of the Quran الكريم and elders of the community السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته There is no doubt my respected brothers and elders that as we grow older it is inevitable that we will encounter more and more experiences of disappointment for a typical student He may not achieve the grades that he desires and is left disappointed. A person may commence with a commercial venture and it may not turn out as successful as was desired and he's disappointed, understandably so. And then there are those experiences where as individuals we are left disappointed and let down by fellow individuals. It could be an individual who is employed giving the best of himself to such an extent that it results in improvement of the bottom line and there is potential for the employer to be compensating even better. But the performance of the employer is not commensurate with the effort being put in and advanced by the employee. And the reverse also applies. It could be an individual who is maybe contemplates a commercial venture in partnership gives the best version of himself, but the partner betrays the trust. It could be another individual who exerts themselves tirelessly and gives the best that they possibly can to their own children, only to realize that with the passage of time, the children let the parents down. And the children don't think twice before even going as far as eloping with someone that they love so much and the parents disapprove of. Irrespective, my respected brothers and elders, experiences of disappointment in life are a reality. And it's not a case of, if someone disappoints me, this is what I will do. It's a case of when. That's the reality of life. It's a case of when someone disappoints us and lets us down, what do we do? How do we navigate? In the time allocated to me, my respected brothers and elders, I wish to do just two things. Number one is share a commonly discussed hadith that has potential to guide us through these experiences. And number two is provide some of the most effective ways in which we can regulate the emotions we undergo when fellow human beings let us down and disappoint us. Before I do that, I just wish to take a minute to highlight the emotional roller coaster and evolution of emotions when we undergo experiences of disappointment in life. Leveraging off the typical example of a man who can say in a relationship that I tried to give this woman the world and she decides to betray my trust and take a different course of life. Or a woman who says that I sacrificed my own freedom for this man. And I don't mind him taking a second spouse, but the way in which he did it has broken me. And the wounds are actually physical. It could be anyone, my respected brothers and elders, but initially, in any experience of disappointment, the first set of emotions that set in is a deep sense of betrayal. The hurt is physical. The wounds are physical. They may not seem physical, but they are physical in nature. And if those emotions are not captured in the right place, then they evolve into revenge, scheming. How can I take revenge of this person who has let me down and disappointed me so much? And then if revenge is not successful, then the individual tries to seek an accomplice. Tries to find someone else who can see things the way I'm seeing it. Justify and see things the way I'm seeing it. I am hurt, I am disappointed, and I have every right to be disappointed. A person tries to seek an accomplice to see things. And then the fourth stage, when the stage of revenge and the stage of betrayal is now past, then the individual is only left with one port of call. And that is to shed tears of despair when prostrating before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm helpless. I can't do anything. I'm disappointed. I'm let down. I can't do anything. This is where I am. That's the typical evolution of emotions we undergo, my respected brothers and elders, when we are left disappointed in life. Beginning with the hadith itself. In a hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, on one occasion, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu reports this hadith. And he says that we were once with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and relishing the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam when an individual came into our company. He emerged from his home and he entered the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed a remark and he said that this man is going to Jannah. And then Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, as the narrator of the hadith, he says, another day came and it piqued my curiosity that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed the same remark and the very same individual entered the gathering. And a third day, we were with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed the same remark, same individual appeared before us. Beard dripping with water, and his shoes flung over the left side of his body. And it just piqued my interest that there must be something special of this person that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is willing to guarantee a ticket to Jannah. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, the other individual in the gathering, he says in the narration that I approached my father in an effort to convince him, and I tried to negotiate to have this person with us. Can we have this individual with us to observe his conduct? Just to observe what is he doing so special that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam can pass a remark that this man is going to Jannah. So my father, I'm not successful in conduct. I take a qasam that I will not enter my father's home for 3 consecutive days. And I utilize these 3 days to observe the conduct of this man in whose favor Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had said that he is going to Jannah. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu says, 3 days lapse and anything out of the ordinary. This individual is doing nothing out of the ordinary. He is behaving and conducting himself the way every other normal individual behaves and conducts himself. And so I'm left. I don't have any answers. I leave and I want to go away. And I ask this person, what is it? What could you be doing? I heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam passing this remark about you and in your favor. What could it be that I can adopt and also enjoy the same privilege? And the individual himself's answer. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu is leaving. He's about to go and depart. And the individual summons him and calls him back. He says, you know what? I can't think of something. Ma huwa illa ma ra'ita. Whatever you saw, it's as it is. But the only thing I can think of is that لا أجد في نفسي لأحد من المسلمين غشا ولا أحسد أحدا على خير أعطاه الله إياه. The only thing I can think of, which prompted Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to make such a remark in my favor, is I do not harbor any malice in my heart for any believer. I wish that harm befalls any other believer. Because if harm befalls a fellow believer, it is equivalent to harm befalling myself. When the ummah tears itself apart, then it's not. There are no winners. There are only losers. And I do not wish that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strip any individual of any favorable bounty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed on anyone else. That is what I do. And that could probably be why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that I may enter Jannah. Note well, my respected brothers and elders, the individual is not saying that I have never been disappointed and I've never experienced any emotional roller coaster when someone disappointed me. All he's saying is that I watch my emotions. I'm conscious of how I feel. I'm conscious of the way I conduct myself, even though I may have experienced a moment of disappointment. And may I say that when any one of us experiences disappointment in life on the part of a fellow human being, it could be a spouse, it could be a business partner, it could be an employer, it could be an employee, when any one of us experiences and has to undergo these experiences of disappointment. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the depth of your wounds. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the depth of your wounds. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the Mubarak utterance of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is willing to guarantee entrance. Because only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that those wounds may not seem physical, but they are indeed physical. The hurt is deep, and it takes time for an individual to recover. Proceeding on to the effective ways in which we can regulate the emotions we undergo when someone disappoints us. The first thing we can do, my respected brothers and elders, is particular attention to the manner in which we awaken and the manner in which we go to bed. That is precisely what is taught to us by this particular companion of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was guaranteed Jannah. We often underestimate the harm we do to ourselves when we don't pay particular attention to the manner in which we awaken, this negative self-talk that overcomes us from the moment our eyes open and we glance at our devices, as many may probably be in the situation and be able to identify with. Those destructive thoughts, the first casualty of those destructive thoughts is our own selves. And the way in which we go to bed, every day we are like, or many times in our lives, we are likely to undergo experiences of disappointment. How do we go to bed? The ulama have written that when an individual experiences anything, any experience of life which is disappointing on the part of another human being, he or she should contemplate on this individual name of Allah, Al-Alim. Al-Alim means the one who knows everything. He knows the depth of everything. And if an individual inculcates a habit of just contemplating on that name for a few moments before retiring to bed, it will play a huge part in regulating those emotions that an individual has to undergo. Because when an individual contemplates on this name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an individual makes peace with himself that Allah ta'ala knows what is between me and this other individual. Allah will judge. There may never be reparation in this world, but there is a judgment day, and justice will be served. So, in addition to that, it also regulates the emotions of the individual, where he comes with himself, that I may be disappointed, yes, but maybe I also overstepped the mark. Maybe I was also wrong. Maybe I should have done this differently. Maybe I should have done that differently. The individual makes peace with himself. It may never be revealed, but the individual makes peace with himself that I may have overstepped the mark, and as a result, today I am facing the consequences of being disappointed by someone else's conduct. You know, they say that in the world today, there are probably only, we can say only, billion mobile devices connecting people. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has endowed the average human brain with 85 billion neurons, which connect messages between the brain cells. 85 billion. The average human brain, one human brain, is able to do more than the entire global telephony service. And as I said, my respected brothers and elders, we often underestimate the manner in which we harm our own selves. According to medical science, some scientists hold the view that the neurons in the brain are depleted in the lifetime of an individual. Others believe that they are not depleted, but they are just impaired. And the way in which we impair our own neurons and impair our own intellectual capability is by not paying sufficient attention to the destructive thoughts, this negative self-talk we awaken with, and the destructive thoughts about people that we go to bed with. The second thing, my respected brothers and elders, is We seriously have to question ourselves when we undergo these experiences of life of disappointment and despair in other human beings and the conduct of other human beings. We seriously have to question our expectations. It probably be the case that we just expect too much. We just expect too much, be it from our spouses, from our partners, from our employees, from our professional colleagues. We just expect too much. And I could probably go as far as saying that the root cause of just about every conflict even in an individual home, in a relationship between two people, the source of every conflict is expectation. We just expect too much. And the analogy is so adept that expectation in life is no different to a wet bar of soap. The more tight we try to grip those expectations, the faster it's going to slip out of the hands. In conclusion, I want to leave you with three questions. And in representing these three questions, I do not want to sound like stripping any individual of their individual right to be disappointed as a human being whenever undergoing these experiences. The first question is, if we undergo or whenever we undergo any experience of disappointment in life on the part of other human beings and the conduct of other people, the first question to ask ourselves is, what am I disappointed about? And do I have good enough reason to be disappointed about it? How does that compare to the legacy of Islam, of individuals who were disappointed in days gone by? Because in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, with reference to Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, وَلَمَّا رَجَعَ مُوسَىٰ إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ غَضْبَانَ أَسِفًا. When Musa alayhi salatu wa salam returned to his people, he was disappointed as a result and virtue of conduct of other human beings because they left the fold. Where does it leave mine and your experience of disappointment? Are we disappointed about our ego being dented? Are we disappointed about replaceable paltry gains? Where does it compare on the litmus test of the legacy of Islam? And the same was said to Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, فَلَا تَبْتَئِسْ. Don't despair, now board the ark. Don't despair in those individuals who left the fold. But it was disappointment by virtue of having left the fold of Islam. Where does it leave mine and your moments and experiences of disappointment? Number one. Number two is, we have to seriously ask ourselves, are we the ones who are disappointing, or are we the ones indeed? Because if we are the individuals who are disappointing, then we have to seriously calibrate that compass of emotional intelligence for why we are disappointing other individuals around us in our close circle. And if we are disappointed, then we have the glad tidings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, wherein he said, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيُدْرِكَ بِالْحِلْمِ دَرَجَةَ الصَّائِمِ وَالْقَائِمِ. If an individual is ever despair, in a situation of despair, and he bears it with forbearance and patience, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is willing to grant that individual the status of the ones who fast every day of their lives and stand up every night of the night of the year. That is the reward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is willing to give if an individual who is left disappointed rather than an individual who is disappointing. And the last question, my respected brothers and elders, is when we experience moments of disappointment in life, we have to question ourselves, are those experiences taking us away from turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or drawing us closer to turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And if those experiences are drawing us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it may well be worth it for an individual to experience any form of disappointment on the part of another human being. Lastly, my time is up. I beg you for permission to indulge for just one more minute on something that is related but different. All of us are aware that in the past week, the BRICS summit took place in the Metropolitan. I deem it a failure on my part not to provide a perspective on this particular event that unfolded in our Metropolitan. We all know, my respected brothers, that the global balance of power is distorted. And for way too long, the powers that be have breached at least, no less than, three firmly embedded Quranic principles. And that is the principles of justice, the principles of fairness, and the principles of consistency. Anyone who is familiar with geopolitics would understand what I'm trying to say without going into too much detail. We all concede that every nation who is part of the BRICS bloc and the BRICS plus bloc now are pursuing this particular multilateral institution for their own interests. And for us as Muslims, we have every right to support it or withdraw our support from this multilateral institution in our own interest. For as long as our interests of these multilateral institutions meeting at least these three criteria, these redressing these three violations on the part of powers that be, then we are willing to support it, even if it be through our talent pool that we can offer to these institutions. And when these institutions aren't able to deliver in terms of redress of these three violations, then we are willing to withdraw our support without a second doubt. In short, and in one sentence, as a Muslim community, maybe I could say in my individual capacity, I am calling for critical vigilance of support or the lack of support for this particular multilateral institution. Why I call for critical vigilance is our position, as 3 years ago we dealt with a moving target, it's no different with this multilateral institution. It's a moving target. Today our position might be one, tomorrow it may well be another position. And we have to be ready for that, we have to embrace it, and be mature enough to understand that our position as a Muslim community may be one today and something else tomorrow, inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq of understanding and the ability to impart unto others. Wa akhiru ta'wana and alhamdulillah.
We say Jazakumullahu ahsanu al-jazaa to Mufti Muhammad Hafiz Sahib for that life, lessons of life and how we can go about, inshallah, in our day-to-day activities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward Mufti Sahib. He's one of the senior muftis at the Jamiat office, mashallah, and he has presented many papers, especially on commercial banking, on finance, on Islamic finance, all those type of things that alhamdulillah is doing, benefited greatly from his expertise, and he still continues to do much research in terms of commerce and finance. Allah take him from strength to strength, inshallah, and Allah use him for the service of deen. Once again, we make an humble appeal to the community to contribute generously to our madrasa, to our masjid, inshallah. We encourage brothers to use the card facilities that is available, inshallah. And in this way, Allah, through our charity and through our sadaqah, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us united and keep us with afiyah and with inshallah. Jazakumullah.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الحمد لله العادل العزيز القهار المنتم من الظالم الجبار أشهد الله وحده لا شريك له شهادة تنجينا من عذاب النار وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله سيد الأتقى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه الأخيار أما بعد فيا معشر الإخوان أطيعوا الله ورسوله في كل آن واعلموا أن من آمن بالله وجبت عليه حقوق منها حقوق الله من أداها فاز ومن عصى خاب ومن انتقص منها شيئا فإنه غفار لمن تاب ومنها حقوق العباد أدوها قبل يوم التناد واهتموا في أدائها لأن أكثر غوائل الآخرة منها فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من كانت له مظلمة لأخيه من عرضه أو شيء فليتحلله منه اليوم قبل أن لا يكون دينار ولا درهم إن كان له عمل صالح أخذ منه بقدر مظلمته وإن لم تكن له حسنات أخذ من سيئات صاحبه فحمل عليه وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام لا يزال الناس بخير ما لم يتحاسدوا وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولا تحسبن الله غافلا عما يعمل الظالمون
إنما يؤخرهم ليوم تشخصار. بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد. أستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله الذي أرسل بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا. إن الله وملائكته يصلي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه أجمعين إلى يوم الدين، خصوصا على أمير المؤمنين سيدنا أبي بكر الصديق رضي الله تعالى عنه، وعلى أمير المؤمنين سيدنا عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه، وعلى أمير المؤمنين سيدنا عثمان بن عفان رضي الله تعالى عنه، وعلى أمير المؤمنين سيدنا علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله تعالى عنه، وعلى الإمامين سيدنا الحسن والحسين رضي الله تعالى عنهما، وعلى بنات النبي الطاهرات زينب ورقية وأم كلثوم وفاطمة سيدة النساء رضي الله تعالى عنهن، وعلى عميه سيدنا حمزة والعباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما، وعلى الستة الباقية من العشرة المبشرة طلحة والزبير وعبد الرحمن بن عوف وسعد بن أبي وقاص وسعيد بن زيد وأبي عبيدة بن الجراح رضي الله تعالى عنهم، وعلى أزواج النبي المكرم وعلى سائر الصحابة والتابعين رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم، ولذكر الله تعالى أعلى وأولى وأعز وأجل وأهم وأتم وأكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والضحى والليل إذا سجى، ما ودعك ربك وما قلى، وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى، ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى.
ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل ألم يجعل كيدهم في تضليل وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل ترميهم بحجارة من سجيل فجعلهم كعصف مأكول.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا إنك جامع الناس ليوم لا ريب فيه إن الله لا يخلف الميعاد. اللهم ربنا لا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صرنا. اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى. اللهم اهد الناس جميعا. اللهم إنا نسألك من كل خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.